Before I get started, though, those that don't know me, most of you here do. I think maybe you've seen me, but live streaming people that don't know who John Koss is, I'm John Koss, and I've been attending Grace Bible Church going on 10 years already, and it's hard to believe that that time has gone that fast already. It seems just like a few months ago that, or a few years ago that we came here, but time has really flown by. I'm married and have my wife, Glenice, and we've been married almost 55 years coming up, so that's a double nickel for us coming up, and we're really thankful that we have found this church to come to. I have two sons. One's Darren, and he's in Pennsylvania. He's in Pennsylvania now, and he does have a home in Florida. And my other son lives in Indiana. And he has two boys. My older son has four, so that's six grandchildren. And they provided us with six grandchildren, three great-grandchildren, and a half. He'll be due here maybe this week or next week. So we're really blessed. We're really blessed with that. With that, I'd like to give you my testimony. And I come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior at the age of 25. I was brought up in a Catholic religion in my younger years. My parents did not attend church, but raised me to believe in God and practice the Catholic religion, or tradition, as a lot of us do say. This entailed church, catechism, Holy Communion, as well as confessions. I stayed away from going to church at about the age of 14 and believed that there was a God, a heaven, and a hell. I came to the conclusion after being told by the church that if you did not go to confession, that you were excommunicated from the church. And I don't know if that's true today, but that was true back then. And I didn't think that, I thought that was wrong. And said to myself, why would God allow me not to go to church and belong to that particular church and worship in the house just because I didn't go to confession? I was confused. I quit going until I came back from the service where I met my wife, Glenice, at a wedding. And she attended a Baptist church in East Detroit. And I was introduced to the gospel and afterwards was so excited that Jesus would forgive me of my sins and just let me live a life that I didn't really find in the Catholic religion. So Christ forgive me of my sins, and from my teenage years to now, I've embraced this new life immediately. My mother died when I was 15 years old, and that was a traumatic shock for me. I was very close to my mother, but I was left pretty much on my own with the worldly things that any 15-year-old would be able to get into, and age 16, 17, and 18 probably weren't much better. And I'm not proud of that. I thank God daily for saving me from Satan and that my sins would be forgiven if I just confessed them to Jesus. After digesting the good news, it did not take me long to go down the aisle publicly in East Detroit, as the Baptist people do. They do that as a tradition, and ask God to forgive me, which I believe he did. I attended church regularly, got involved in many things to serve the Lord. I had many questions as a new believer and worked with a Christian man who directed me to Calvary Baptist Church. I don't know if any of you know that. It was a big church in its day. It had 2,000 people. And Dr. David D. Allen was the pastor there. And he taught the Bible verse by verse each and every week. I think I learned most of what I knew of the Bible in my younger years from him. He taught at Detroit Bible College, and any of you know Dr. Jack Van Eppy? You've heard that name, Prophecy and Revelation, and had, I think, the whole New Testament almost memorized. And Dr. Allen was his teacher there. But I was a member of Calvary for 25 years, serving in capacities of teaching Sunday school, working with the children's ministry, the Awana director. Anybody know about Awana? Rich does. A-W-A-N-A. Approved. Workmen are not ashamed. Lo and behold, I never knew what that really meant about rightly dividing the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15. So during all those years, it was the motto, but I did not really know about dividing the word of truth. But it was an excellent program. It was a three-part segment during the Wednesday night service. Kids would break up into gym time, switch, boys and girls would be separated, and then there'd be a time of memorization. And a lot of Bible memorization from these kids were really something. And then we had a guest speaker each night as well. But I was also on the mission board president. I was a mission board president for a while there as well. So I really enjoyed being involved in the Baptist church. But Calvary was declining after Dr. Allen retired after 50 years. And 2,000 people, I think today, they call it Landmark Baptist Church, I believe, over in Hazel Park. And I think they're lucky to have maybe 50 people, if they even have that now. But I heard they were supposed to be moving right over here by 13 Mile and Mound in that vacant building over there, but haven't happened as of yet. My two sons were married by now. We neglected going to church regularly and been praying for a home church. I knew as a believer it was important to be a member of a Bible-believing church, serve him along with the Holy Spirit, directing the talents he has provided me with and his blessings. After searching many churches, a friend of mine, which I've known for a long time, Bob Cole, he was attending here, and he says, come on over, you got to see this. Him and I had a lot of back and forth, me being Baptist, him being Nazarene, and we Baptists always believe that we have, eternal security. We have eternal security in Baptist Church. Oh, no, we don't. No, Nazarenes don't believe that. So he ended up talking to me. He says, I know you're looking for a church. He says, I think I found one that's really, really unique. Come on over and visit. So Glenys and I come over here, and we're not really satisfied where we were going. It was a Baptist church over here on 12 Mile and Grosbeck for a while. Pastor was a little background of Calvinism, and lo and behold, the day that I did come in here, that Bob invited me, Tom was speaking on Calvinism that day. And I said, boy, did that ever straighten me out? So it was really, really, really a blessing that we started coming here. So only by grace of God, I'm here where I have found the real teaching of God's grace. The grace doctrine has brought me out of the spiritual blindness, opened my eyes to the real meaning of the Bible, not to mention that Christ had to die. I ask God forgiveness for wasting many years under the wrong doctrine, but I believe it was the Holy Spirit working in my life. I feel so blessed knowing what I have now in the grace doctrine, Apostle Paul, and the truth of 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Romans 16, 25, Hebrews 2, 8, and 9, as well as Hebrews 10, 9, and 10. And most of all, the verse that has been with me for many years, and that was, approved workmen are not ashamed, Awana, which I was involved with for many years, and now that's our doctrine here. I was unaware of the true meaning of rightly dividing the word of truth, but I have been growing much in the Lord since 2013 after attending Grace Bible Church, thanks to an individual pointing me in the right direction. Listening to Pastor Tom Musfeldick daily, along with Rick Jordan, it's enabled me to grow as a Christian. What thrills me most is seeing my wife listening to Les Feldick and us sitting down every afternoon and reading the Bible, understanding the grace doctrine as well. So my prayer is that I will do all I can with my thoughts, actions, to improve myself over the past and continue in the days ahead until I return to more pleasing and acceptable to him along with praying to God that I will be something daily that will reflect his glory. I can only say, what does the scripture say? 2 Timothy 2:15. Here is an inspiring prayer I thought I would read that I come across. I read a prayer the other day that I keep in my Bible. It goes like this. As I sit down before you this morning with the Bible in front of me, here I pray that you will help me listen and to understand all that I hear. To remember that you are my Father and the love of Jesus gave when he died. Let the power you showed when you raised it remove any doubt that's inside. Protect me from the words of the liar, deception, that seem they are from you, meanings that you never really intended. Give me the wisdom to see what is true and equip me today for the battle with strength and the armor of light and the joy of the victor inside me. To shine through the day and night, wash me with your living water, feed me with your living word, and fill me with your Holy Spirit, and help me to do what I've heard. I thought that was an inspiring prayer. What I really do every morning when I get up, actually, it's the coffee and the cookies and Christ. It's the three C's. So I have that. I have that every morning. And I'd like to go over some scripture passages. I know a lot of you have had these memorized, some of them, but I would like to go over some of the devotions that help keep my Christian walk and keep reminding me of how we are to maintain our testimony that will honor our Lord Jesus Christ. I know Brandon's been touching on these New Testament books the last few months. And first one is Romans 12. Return to chapter 12, verse 9, through the end of that chapter. And I was so impressed the other week when Pete's son got up in Sunday school and memorized the whole chapter of 12. And I go 9 through 12. I mean 9 through 21. And he got up and did that, and that just blessed me to no end. See a youngster like that and brought back memories of when I was in the Awana program, all the kids saying their memorization verses, you know, each and every work to get their rewards or whatever we gave them at that time. So Romans 12, 9 through 21, let me read that. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one to another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men, if it is possible as much as lieth in you. Live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. That verse always reminds me when I do get in a conversation with somebody and they're not agreeing with what's going on in the world, and they're not happy with what happened to this person or that person. And like Tom was mentioning, the world and such that we live in now, it's hard. But when they do, I always bring this verse up. And vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. But not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So Roman lays the foundation principles of God's grace. And the next book I really read every morning, same chapter, is Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 25. Ephesians tells us who we are in Christ. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. That's one of my favorite verses. It's a verse I use for people that really aren't getting along. And that's what kept, I think, our marriage together for 55 years, and that's forgiving one another and just asking forgiveness. And it's worked for all these years, and I just pray that you'll keep that verse handy when someone is having a lot of difficulty. And the next one I really go to every morning is in Colossians 3. Paul tells us we believers are complete in Christ, and we have everything we need in Christ. Let's read Colossians 3. If ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. That's always a good start. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then also we shall appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, that's a hard one for me, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. How true that is. But now ye also put on these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore the elect of God, holy beloved bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgive you, so do ye also. So also ye do. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called, in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I think that's Jim's verse. And whatsoever you do, do in word or deed, and all do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. The family coming up, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. Be not bitter against them. And children, obey your parents in all things. For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men pleasers in singleness of heart, fearing God, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that the Lord, you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Those three passages are very good to equip yourself every day if you want to put that in your memory bank. I'd like to have a few other things I'd like to talk about as a grace believer. Talk about the five P's. Maybe some of you have heard this before, but the purpose, the privilege, the practice, the power, and the proper prayer in the age of grace. Those five P's. The purpose of prayer is to bring God and His Word into every situation, communing with the Heavenly Father, receiving peace, awareness, while acknowledging our weaknesses, dependency upon Him, reminding ourselves to be strong in the Lord and power in His might. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. We want to turn to Philippians 4, 6, and 7. I think a lot of us know that one by memorization. But Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing, or be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Romans 8, 26 and 27. Let's look at that at Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. Eight 26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. In verse 27, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So the purpose of prayer is really to bring God in His Word in every situation, communing with the Heavenly Father, receiving peace, awareness, while acknowledging our weaknesses, depending upon Him, reminding ourselves to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. The second P is the privilege. The privilege of prayer is having continual instant access and communion with our loving Heavenly Father. How wonderful that is. Of whom all things and to whom all things are, who have revealed His purpose for us in grace, His will for us to whom we serve, and who has given us the Holy Spirit. Let's look at Romans 5, 1 through 5. It talks about the privilege of prayer. In Romans 5, 1 through 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, who has given that to us. The privilege of prayer, like I said, is having continual instant access and communion with our loving Heavenly Father. The third P is practice of prayer in the age of grace. We talked about the purpose, the privilege, and now the practice is prayer, and prayer is asking, supplication, petition, intercession, praying for others, giving of thanks, acknowledging God's blessings, and acknowledging that. In short, practicing the presence of God, and again, that's Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Fortunately, prayer is not primarily for the purpose of getting, but what? The purpose of giving and to motivate the doing. Not always to bring what we want, but giving us what we need. Not necessarily changing things, but changing us. And not in working externally in a circumstance, but empowering believers through the circumstance. Not giving what we ask, but above what we ask or think. And not really manipulating the outcome of it as well. The power of prayer. Brandon's been talking about the power of prayer the last couple of Sundays. And is to be strengthened with might by God's Spirit in the inner man, watching thereto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. And God working in you to will and to do His good pleasure, the power of Christ resting on us. And for the peace that passeth all understanding, keeping our hearts and minds. And the power of prayer, let's look at Ephesians 3, chapter 3, verse 16. Ephesians 3, 16. that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love. And verse 20 there, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And the last P is proper praying and grace. We had the purpose, the privilege, the practice, the power, and now the proper praying and grace is to continue instant in prayer. Pray without ceasing. Pray even if you don't know how to pray as you ought. But understanding, pray for understanding. Pray for the ministry of grace. For the saints' growth, faith, love, and hope. And let your requests be made known unto God. Romans 12:12. Look at Romans 12:12. Again, proper praying and grace. Romans 12:12. Part of what I started with in Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing, instant in prayer. And also the proper praying and grace is Colossians 4:2. Colossians 4:2 does say, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Colossians 4:2. And the last one I think I'll look at is proper praying in grace, Romans 8:26-27. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And then, do we understand how prayer affects others and how every circumstance really works out? Not really. But we see in Romans, Colossians, Thessalonians, and Philippians how that really does work out. And all things do work together for good to them that love God, to whom they are called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. So therein is the key. It's not always understanding how the prayer works, but how God responds to every prayer, especially in praying for others as a result of the ministry, but always being thankful in whatever outcome, and pray without ceasing. One last thing I'd like to end with here is that there is a in closing, first, Brandon, on Sundays, a lot of what I have been talking about tonight, the five P's in the age of grace, the purpose, privilege, practice, power, and the proper prayer in the age of grace is how we are to walk as a believer in Ephesians also. And I think what Brandon ended on in Sunday is what to avoid, and that is found in Titus. So in close, it is a reminder of love, grace, and the Word of God that enables us to live the Christian life. I'd like to just leave you with this thought. There's a great gospel song out there that I think is so relevant that Jim probably knows. It's by Greater Vision. They sing this, and it's called Faces. It's called Faces. And I think it's so relevant in our walk being ambassadors. And it talks about that we should not be discouraged that in the everyday, ordinary people that we come in contact with, that you think may not be worth what you've said to them, who you've passed a track out to, who you've talked to. Maybe a plumber has come into your house. Maybe you've talked to somebody and you didn't think it was going to amount to anything. And maybe in a Sunday school class as well. But praying for someone, and you'll be surprised when we meet Jesus. And he says, turn around and look at the many faces that you had an impact on of serving the Lord. So I think witnessing, praying for them is, no matter how small the task, being an ambassador for Christ really pays off. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time searching the Scriptures. Thank you for having your Son shedding his blood and going to the cross for us, asking forgiveness of our sins. We ask, Lord, that as we think about the loved ones that have passed on, that one day we will see them. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for our pastors here at Grace Bible Church. Continue to give them the strength, the wisdom, and preaching, the grace that we hear every Sunday, rightly dividing the word of truth. And be with our people that are working in the conference for this weekend, that the Bible conference kicks off, that you be with the speaker as well as he brings forth the word. In his matchless name we pray. Amen.